Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you know where that's at, verses 9 and 10. Hopefully you've been praying that prayer every day and reading the book and seeking God, and hopefully some things are starting to break loose in your life. But before I read this, I'd love for every married couple here to sign up for a couples retreat. It's going to be a good time, and you know, if you want to go and you just don't have all the money, just come let me know. You know, it's a time. I don't know. It's not really a long time down there, but it seems like it's longer than it is. But what I like about it mainly is that I get a chance to visit with some of you that I don't normally get a chance to visit with. And so anyway, we'll have fun. And we'll learn something too. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Holy Spirit, I want to talk about you today, and so I ask you to coach me and help me inject the things that you want us to know about you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Jabez prayed that your hand would be with me, that the hand of God would be with him. In the Old Testament and some in the New, the biblical term "hand of the Lord" meant the power and the presence of God in the lives of His people. Joshua 4:24 says that all the people on the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. In other words, he's saying here, wants everybody to see how mighty this presence of God is. And we know when the Bible uses the word fear, it's not for us to be afraid of him. How many know you don't have to be afraid of God? But it means that I have a reverence for him, a respect for him. And I do have some fear. I'm afraid not to serve him. But it's a reverence, it's a love, and it's that type of fear. But in the New Testament, a more specific description of this term would be to be filled with the Spirit. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, it's actually a touch from God on our lives. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us, and that empowers us, gives us a mighty power to be a witness for Him to all the world. When you study church history, one of the things that stands out the most is the fact that the early church, that about the early church is that believers, they continually sought to be filled with the Spirit, filled with God's presence. They were known as a community that would spend hours and even days seeking God, praying together, waiting for God, and asking Him to fill them with His Spirit, with His power. They longed to receive that. They wanted that experience with God. That fresh anointing, that fresh touch from God's hand. That's what Jabez is praying here. That's the intensity that he's praying with. Lord, I want your power in my life. They would say that your hand would be on me. We would say, Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit, with your presence, with your power. In fact, that's what Paul was told us to do in Ephesians. In Ephesians 3:19, he said, make being filled with all the fullness of God a priority. A priority. If you back up to the 16th verse, he prayed that God would bless and strengthen us with might through His Spirit. So that's what Jabez was praying. He was praying, God, I want your hand on me. I want your presence on me. You know, I don't know about you, but I pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power and your presence. Lord, I can't do anything without your presence. I was praying about this message and I said, well, Holy Spirit, I need you. I can't do anything without you. And he whispered inside of me, but you're not without me. I said, oh, yeah. And we're not without him. But that desire, that longing for him to breathe on us. I believe that's what Jabez was praying. That your hand, God, would be with me. You know, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, and we're going to look at a verse in chapter 14 of John. But you know, there was no greater authority on the Holy Spirit than Jesus. He knew more about the Holy Spirit than anyone. His birth was prophesied by the Holy Spirit. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. He cast out demons by the Spirit of God. He ministered healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And even in Hebrews 9:14, it tells us that he gave himself to be crucified through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know in Romans 8, it tells us that he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul's praying at the beginning of Ephesians. He's saying that you might know the power of that resurrection, that you might know the power that's been given to you. It's the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. What I want you to understand is the point I'm trying to make is from the beginning to the end, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were one. If you saw Jesus, you saw the Holy Spirit. If you saw the Holy Spirit, you saw him magnifying Jesus. They were one of the same. No greater authority on the Holy Spirit than Jesus. And here in from John 13 to 17, his last night, his last time, he's getting ready to go. And in chapter 14, he begins to tell us about the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the last words of Jesus, the last words that he's going to speak to his disciples in the flesh. How many know last words are important? I mean, this is the last time he's going to address them. He could have talked about prophecy. He could have talked about Israel. He could have talked about the second coming. He could have talked about the church. But no, he talked about the Holy Spirit. Jesus begins to tell us in John 14, and I just want us to look at one verse here, John 14, verse 16. And I promise this will probably be, in this one verse, will be all you'll be able to digest today, if you can digest it. But if you can hear what I say today, and if the Holy Spirit will help me say it, your thinking and your life will be revolutionized. And it might not be things that you don't already know, but it'll be things that you get reminded of. Okay, John 14, 16 says this. Jesus says, and I'll pray the Father. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit down the line a few weeks here, and we'll cover some of this again. But he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now listen to me. In the Greek, I want you first to look at the word another. In the Greek, there are two different words translated another. Now, as I talk a little bit about some Greek words today, don't worry about remembering the Greek words, because I'll probably mispronounce them anyway. And the only ones that'll know it'll be Frank and Cheryl, because they're the Greek scholars here, or at least they know Greek. They don't like to be called scholars, but it's not important that you know the word. But I want you to digest what I say. And I'm sure you won't be impressed unless you're impressed by the Holy Spirit. But let's look at the word another. There's two Greek words that are translated another. One of them is hetera. That's the word we get the word heterosexual from. Now hetera means one of a different kind. In the context of heterosexual, it's male and female. They're different. How many know they're different? Okay, good. I'll make sure you're awake. So the word hetera here always means, it always describes one of a different kind. Another. One of a different kind. You with me? Now, if Jesus would have used this word here, he didn't. But if he would have used this word, he would have sounded something like this. I'm going to send you another hetera comforter. And when he arrives, hetera, he won't be anything like me. He'll be completely different in source. He'll be somebody who you have no understanding of. He'll be somebody that you have no experience with. He'll be someone of a totally different kind than me. But that's not the word he used. The word he uses here is allos. A-L-L-O-S. Allos. Allos, another, means one of the very same kind. Now listen to me. The very same source. And so using that word, what he's actually could be saying here is, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another allos comforter. And when he comes, he'll be just like me. Now you remember he's talking to the disciples here, and they're nervous because they've been walking with him for 3.5 years, and they're sensing he's going to leave. And they're nervous, and the first thing he starts in this chapter says, don't let your heart be troubled. It's going to be okay. And so he's telling them here, I'm going to send you another comforter. Allos, I'm going to send you one, and he's going to be just like me. He thinks like me. He talks like me. He acts like me. He behaves like me. If you have him, the Holy Spirit, allos, if you have him, it will be like you still have me. Are you with me? Because he and I are identical in every way. What I say is what he'll say. What I do is exactly what he'll do. If you have him, it'll be just like you still have me. You with me so far? I'm going to go real slow, so because you need to hear it. You need to get it. It needs to become rhema on the inside of you. How many ever thought, I have, but ever thought, boy, wouldn't it have been nice to have just actually walked with Jesus in the flesh? Huh? Have you ever thought that, you know? I've even been lately, I've been thinking, boy, Jesus, I can't hardly wait until I see you and we just can walk together and I can actually see you. What Jesus is telling the disciples and us in this verse is that if we are walking with the Holy Spirit, it's still just exactly like we're walking with Jesus here on the earth. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit, allos, is just like Jesus. Jesus said something else here. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another, allos, one just like me, another comforter." Now underline comforter if you're looking at your book. This word comforter in this few chapters here appears four times. It happens here in John in verse 16. He also says it in verse 26 and in chapter 15, verse 26, and then a fourth time in chapter 16, verse 7. Now, anytime a word's used over and over in the Bible, it's for emphasis. Okay? Jesus is trying to drive a point home here into the hearts of the disciples and to us. That he wants us to understand that when the Holy Spirit comes, one of the most important parts of his ministry to us is that he'll be a comforter. A comforter. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, comfort can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, depending on the situation that you're in. But the word Jesus uses here is the word parakletos. Parakletos. Now, it's actually made of two root words, and to understand what he's saying, we have to break it apart. And say it, one word is para and the other is kleos. And so to understand it, we'll break these words apart just for a second and see what they mean. The word para means alongside of. Alongside of. Now catch it here. So here we have one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to be alongside of us. We could call that the alongside of ministry, if we would. By using this word para, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to be alongside of you just like a partner. The alongside of ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's not far from you. He's not in another room. He's right with you. See, we pray, we sing a lot of songs, and that's okay if we sing in any of them, but we sing, Holy Spirit, come, and we say, oh Lord, send your power down. Send your power just now. And we pray all these songs, but see, the Holy Spirit isn't off somewhere. He's right alongside of us. He's not far off. He's not somebody you have to look for and try to find when you need him. He's right there. Right there with you. Not far from you. He's alongside of you. He's para. He's alongside of you all the time. Well, I thought the Holy Spirit was in me. Well, he is in you. But what I want you to understand is in this scripture, Jesus is really describing the Holy Spirit as a pardoner and not an indweller. Okay? He's both. He's with us and he's in us. Matter of fact, Jesus says that in the next verse. He says he's in verse 70, he says he's with you and he'll be in you. Okay? So don't lose me here. He's saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be alongside of you just like a pardoner. Okay, the second word, kleos or kletos. That word means to call or to beckon, to speak. But this word, it has two meanings. This word does. It means to this alongside of us ministry, but he'll begin to speak to us and talk to us. But the second meaning of this word tells us that the Holy Spirit himself has a calling. Just like I have a calling to be your pastor, I'm going to stand accountable to God for that. The Holy Spirit has a calling. You say, well, what's the Holy Spirit's calling? His calling is to be alongside of us and to speak to us. That's his job. Huh? That's his purpose. Oh, we've got to bridge this gap between us and God. Hear what I'm saying. Because he's not off somewhere. He's right here with you. Oh, Holy Spirit, please come. No, he's already here if you came in. You with me? So he has a calling. His purpose, his calling is to stand alongside of me and to be in me. But to be alongside of me, to speak to me. Now stay with me. So when you combine these two words, parakletos, and I'll get with you later, Frank, find out how you really say that, but when you combine these two words, they're used in a very special way. They describe an advisor, a counselor, or you could say a coach. I want you to understand this. In matter of fact, in the New Testament, the word describing advisor, he's advising us, a counselor, he's counseling us. But it really conveys the idea of a coach. Now, what does a coach do? He coaches you. Come on, I'm not going to spring anything too heavy on you. I've already, some of you there with your mouths dropped open. A coach. Well, let's use a baseball coach. Now let me ask you, does a baseball coach play the game for you? I mean, does he hit the ball for you? Does he catch the ball for you? No. His job is not to play the game for you. It's to teach you how to play the game. Stay with me. This is so simple, you'll miss it. He'll say, swing like this. Now, this is the way you catch the ball. Now, when you throw the ball, throw it this way. I talked to somebody else the other day, and they said that they had a singing coach. A vocal coach doesn't sing the song for you, do they? No, they'll tell you how to breathe. They'll tell you how to push the sound out to get a certain sound. They'll tell you how to get that note that's hard to get. They won't do the singing for you, but they will teach you how to sing. Are you with me? I've got Alos. I've got one just like Jesus, and he's standing right next to me, and he's talking to me, and he's coaching me. You see, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't come to do everything for us. He comes to show us and teach us and coach us how to do everything. This. I want it to sink in. And we're already half done, so listen real close. Jesus said this. He said, okay, he said, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another Allos comforter. He'll send you another, just when he comes, he'll be just like me. Well, then that must mean that Jesus himself was a comforter. Right? It must mean he was an advisor to his disciples. It must mean that he was a counselor to them. It must mean that he was a coach to them. You see, he didn't preach for them. He preached, he showed them how and taught them how, coached them how to preach, and then he said, divided them up two by two, and he said, you go out and do the work of the ministry. He didn't cast out demons for them. He coached them. He showed them how. And then he sent them out and said, you cast them out. He didn't heal the sick for them. He sent them out and two by two and said, heal the sick. Did you remember in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus and Peter and James and John, they came down off the mountain and the man was here and trying to get his son healed. How many remember? And he said, your disciples, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't get him healed. And what did Jesus say? And the King James, he said, how long must I suffer you? You know what that means? He's saying, how long am I going to have to do everything for you? He coached them. He showed them how. For 3.5 years, he walked with them, showed them how. He was an advisor. He was a counselor. He was a coach. He was an enabler. And now Jesus says, he says, I've been doing this for 3.5 years. I've been teaching you. I've been coaching you. I've taught you how to do everything. And now I'm leaving. But I'm sending another one back, just like me, to walk alongside of you and to Kletos talk to you and speak to you and beckon you. And he's going to do this the same way that I have done it. And he's going to take up where I left off. How many know in the next chapter he says, I still have many things to tell you, but I'm not able to tell you them right now. But when he's come, Lord, help us get this. The Holy Spirit's going to be another comforter to you, Hank. Everything I've done for you, disciples, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is going to do for you. How cool is that? That is foundational, folks. When we have the ministering, the alongside of the ministering of the Holy Spirit working in us and alongside of us as a partner, yes, he's in us. But he's alongside of us and he's speaking to us. He's telling us what to do. I mean, he's telling us when to be quiet and when to talk. How many know that'd be a great deal if we could just learn that? He's teaching us when to be silent, when to take action, how to pray, when to pray, what to say. If we will learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, if we'll learn to listen to Him and allow Him to coach us, He'll coach us and talk to us exactly the same way Jesus did the disciples. Now, what would the church be like if we get a revelation of that? Lord, they're crippled. What do you want me to do? Show me. Lord, help me, Holy Spirit. Coach me right now how to do this. I'm supposed to witness to her, but I don't know what to say. So, Holy Spirit, would you coach me and show me what to say? Do you understand how powerful this is? Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about here right now, it'll have no effect in your life if you're not open to having a relationship with Him. Huh? He can talk to us all day long, but if we're not listening, it'll never benefit us. How many ever did something and it blew up in your face? And you went, something was telling me not to do that. Duh. So what are you going to do? You're going to learn from that? And the next time you hear that voice that way, are you going to do it different, or are you just going to do it the same and not pay attention? See, if I'm not open to a relationship with Him, and as I heard Jabez praying this prayer, what got God's attention out of all this list of people is that I want you to understand the intensity that Jabez prayed this prayer with. Father, I have to have you. I want your hand with me. I don't want to do anything without your power in my life. Holy Spirit, I want to hear you. I want to follow your instructions. But you know, then I have to be bold enough to step out and do what he said. The truth is, because it's not most in here, but a whole bunch of Christians, people are afraid to follow him, follow his leading, because they can't see him. In John 14 there in verse 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he'll be in you. He says, even the world, but you know what the sad thing today is? A majority of the Christian world won't receive him. We won't open our life up to him for a relationship. See, because we can't see him, so he stays something mystical, or he stays an inanimate object to us. It. Do you have the Holy Spirit yet? It's a real experience. And we are afraid to move because we are afraid we might misunderstand him, and because we can't see him. And what if I make a mistake? And can I tell you something? If you're trying to hear the Holy Spirit, you're going to make mistakes. Huh? How many, you don't even have to raise your hand on this because I know I'd get 100% participation. How many ever God told you to do something and later on down the line you found out God didn't no more told you to do that than anything? Now you got two choices when that happens in your life. You can either be humble and say, whew, God, I missed that one, but please help me, I don't want to miss it again. Or you can spend the rest of your life defending what you did because you don't want to admit that you missed God. Where a lot of Christians are. Well, I have faith. Well, now God told me that. You know, well, maybe you just misunderstood a little bit. You know how I learned that? I had to learn that the hard way. But humility says, woo, God, now I believe you're saying this. I'm going to step out. But if you're not saying it, don't let me fall too hard. I mean, brace the fall. And then help me get back up because we're doing this thing. If Jesus walked into the room right now and walked right up to you and told you to do something, you'd do it because you could see him. And what Jesus is saying here to his disciples and to us, do whatever he says. I'm sending him. I'm sending you another one just like me. I'm sending you another one just like me to walk beside you, and he'll be in you, but he's going to be your partner. He's going to be your coach. And you can trust whatever he says. You can do whatever he says. He'll be just like me. You can obey him just like you would obey me. He'll talk to you just like I'll talk to you. He'll do the same things that I do. But you have to have a relationship of trust with him. And that has to be developed. Three times in this, you have to know that he's the truth. Three times in this portion of Scripture, Jesus uses the term the Spirit of Truth. Now remember when he uses a word over and over, it's to stress a point, to drive home a point into the hearts of the listeners. And so he says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth. Was equivalent to saying he'll never mislead you. He'll never misguide you. He's not a spirit of deception or error. He's a Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth. Jesus wanted his disciples to know. Now when we study all these chapters in a few weeks or a month down the line, and I put this in context, you'll see. And if you'll go back and read this, it'll all make sense to you. But Jesus wanted the disciples, and he wanted us to know that Even though they couldn't see, or that we can't see the Holy Spirit, we can trust Him. He's real. He's not a ghost. He's not a mirage. He's not something spooky. He's a person. You can trust Him. I said, you can trust Him. Now, clap for Him. Now, you may and you probably will have to learn how to hear Him. Okay? Especially in the beginning, it's a learning process. But if you realize, and actually, I think we spend our whole life learning how to hear Him. But Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. They'll know my voice. And you see, it's impossible for me to really get to know you if I don't spend time with you. You with me? It's impossible for you to get to know the Holy Spirit if you don't spend time in this Word, talking to the Father, hearing the voice inside of you. Somebody said, well, who do I pray to? Do I pray to God or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit? Well, you pray to the Father through Jesus. He gave you access. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability and coaches us and shows us how to pray. He gives us the power of God in our lives. Does that make sense? Oh, you're so good, Holy Spirit. And so you're going to have to learn to hear Him. You know, I remember my son, Brent, the one that's in heaven now. And when he was like in the eighth night, he loved basketball and he loved to play basketball. And I would watch him at a game. Naturally, dads would go to every game, you know. And I'd watch him at the game. And a lot of people and everybody, man, you couldn't hear nothing. It was so loud. But the coach would be standing on the sideline, and I'd watch him in there playing, and the coach would say, move left, or do this, or do that. And I would watch him, and he wasn't looking at the coach, but he would do what the coach said, and the other players would do. Why? They learned to hear his voice. And even in a crowd of all the other voices, they could hear his voice. Oh, I just can't hear the Holy Spirit. Quit whining around and being so silly. You can if you want to, but it needs to be a priority in your life. I want you, God. I want all you got for me. I want to hear you, Holy Spirit. Are you with me? A learning process. And by the way, Brent knew my voice too. Of course, you know, dads, we try to coach too, and I really don't know anything about basketball, and I'd yell something out, and then one day, Brent was always so kind. He didn't ever want to hurt anybody's feelings, and he came to me and said, Dad, he said, would you quit yelling at the game? He said, because when you yell, I hear you, and I miss what the coach says. He won't tell you. He won't tell you anything wrong. He won't tell you to do something that... won't tell you to do something that you're not supposed to do. He won't tell you to do anything that'll get you in trouble. He's the Spirit of Truth. Okay? And He won't tell you to do anything wrong. And if you go ahead and do it, you'll probably get in trouble. But if you'll listen, He was telling you not to do it. I'm not even going to go there. I don't even want to talk about that today. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's here to advise you. He's here to counsel you. He's here to coach you. Now listen to this. We're almost done, but listen to this. Don't limit His coaching just to spiritual things. He wants to coach you about your finances. He wants to coach you about how to raise your kids. He wants to teach you and coach you about having a relationship with your wife or your husband. You hearing me? And relationships with others. He's here to coach us and teach us and coach us in every area of our life. Wow, how cool is that? I'm walking down through life and he says, hey, he says, now if you'll buy that, you'll make some money on it. Hey, if you'll do this, it'll be prosperous down the line. Hey, if you'll listen to me, hey, go over here. Now, I usually want to fight. Our flesh will want to fight and not do what he tells us to do. But if I'll listen. Not a few weeks ago, I was leaving the office here, and I was going to go to Range Line on something. I don't remember what, but there's a Walmart neighborhood market right over here, and something inside said, go to that market. I said, well, I don't ever go there. So go there. And my mind said, well, I don't want to go there. I don't need anything from Walmart. How many know if you don't even have to need anything, but if you go in there, you'll buy a bunch of stuff. Yeah? And so I'm going, and I said, man, I don't want to go in there. But that voice was so strong, and luckily I listened to the voice. And I get in there, and I'm going around, and naturally I'm putting stuff in the basket that I don't need, And I get around almost all the way around, and I'm almost coming out, and there's a 75-year-old man standing there named Tommy, and he says, Pastor Hank, I watch you every week on TV. He said, I pray that prayer with you. I said, you do? Yes. I said, are you saved? He said, no. I said, what? You pray the prayer? Yeah. And we prayed the prayer. I said, are you saved? And he said, no. He said, but it sure makes me feel good. And I said, well, let's look at this. Let's talk about this. And so I talk to him, and I tell him about how salvation is by faith and not by feelings. And I go through all this. And then by the time we spend about 10 minutes there, you know, and then I said, now are you saved? And he said, yes, I'm saved. Stop by that store. I don't want to. I don't have time. But the man was saved. And not only that, I go up into the line and he's getting ready to leave. And so I wait till he gets way over by the door. And I've got my stuff here and my card in. And I go, Tommy, are you saved? He turns around and yells across the store, yes, I am. And the lady at the cash register is freaking out. And so I just looked at her and I said, do you have Jesus in your heart? She goes, well, yes. I knew right then she didn't. And so I started using Tommy and everything we'd been through and how I told Tommy how to be saved and how I told Tommy this and how he finally understood it. And before I got out of there, I told her how to be saved. What I'm saying is, man, listen to this. Listen to him. He's here, just like Jesus talked to his disciples, he's here to talk to us the very same way. He's here to coach you. He's here to advise you. He's here to beckon you. He's here to counsel you in every area of your life. There's not nothing we can come up on that we can't get an answer for. Well, because Jesus said it on over here in the next chapter. He said, he'll tell you everything he hears Father say. And he said, everything I have is yours. And everything Father has is mine. So let me say it again. Everything I have is yours. And he'll tell you about it. Well, let me hit one more point real quick. Are you with me? In verses 16 and 17, I just want to point this out real quick. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, allos, one just like me, comforter, one to walk along beside of you, one to coach you, teach you, talk to you, counsel you, beckon you, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be and shall be in you. Now what I want you to see here is over and over and over, even in John 14, 26, and in 15, 26, in chapter 16, verses 6 through 14, over and over and over, he uses a personal pronoun to describe the Holy Spirit. He says, he, him, he. He's not a goosebump. He's not a feeling. He's a person. You know, it's impossible to have a relationship with a goosebump. I love it when people go, oh, I got to get in the spirit. I don't have time to tell you the story. I'll remind me sometime to tell you the chicken story. I was in Russia with a Pentecostal preacher lady, and when the Holy Spirit moved on her, she acted like a chicken, you know. And anyway, we'll tell that story a different time. You can't have a relationship with a feeling. No, you have to have a relationship and a partnership with a person. I want you to understand this, because Jesus is talking about the third person of the Trinity right here. You hearing me? He's talking about the third person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't even call him a ghost no more. Oh, he's my buddy. He's my friend. He's my partner. You know, I love my wife. In fact, we've been married 43 years. And, yeah, you need to clap for her. You know, sometimes when I'm with her, I get feelings. And I like feelings. And sometimes when I'm with her, she even gives me goosebumps. Now, I can tell by looks on a lot of you husbands' faces, you haven't seen a goosebump in a long time, man. Ladies, well, we'll save that for marriage retreat. But my relationship with her is not built on feelings or goosebumps. It's built on her as a person. It's a relationship with her. It's built on a covenant that we made together. A commitment, a relationship. This is my point. Sometimes you will feel the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you won't. And just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not there, because he's always right alongside of you and right in you. You with me? That's his calling. That's his job. That's what God has commissioned him to do on earth. One of the main things is to walk with me and coach me and talk to me and fill me. Are you with me? So if I don't feel him, I heard some lady talking not long ago, and she said, I was going along and I was doing so good, and I was believing God and I was doing so good, and then all of a sudden it just all blew up. Well, you know, but because you're still paying attention to your feelings. He's there. He's there, whether you feel him or don't feel him. How many ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Some of you need to look up and read about Corrie Ten Boom. She was in the concentration camps, and just a mighty woman of God. Just miraculous things happened. But she said one time she was on this train going to a concentration camp, and said they went through a tunnel. and said it was real dark in this tunnel. You couldn't see anything. And she said, God spoke to her heart. He said, you always remember that the God that was with you in the light is the same God that's still with you in the dark. He's never, never going to leave you. Okay, so what have I said? Are you with me? What have I said? We're done. Jesus said, Hank, put your name in there, Nate, Jack, Denise, Tim, you can do it too. I'm going to send you Allos, another Allos, one just like me, a comforter just exactly like me. He's going to be just like me, and he's going to walk alongside of you, and he's going to talk to you and speak to you and coach you and counsel you, and he's going to do it just like I have done it. And you can trust whatever he says. Now do you understand why a little later Jesus said he'll lead you and guide you into all truth? Well, let me encourage you to have a relationship with him. You know, just like you talk to Father, and just like you talk to Jesus, develop a dialogue with him. And we'll talk about being filled with the Spirit and some other things, and why we have a heavenly language to be able to talk and communicate things that we don't understand. That's what tongues are all about, is so we can communicate with him. It's not so we can put on a show and act like a chicken or whatever, you know. No, it's just for an intimate relationship. And so let me encourage you, as you pray this prayer of Jabez, I hope you didn't quit. Last Tuesday was the 30 days we were supposed to pray it. And maybe you hadn't started yet. It's not too late. Go ahead and start. But as you pray this, I hope what you realize that what you're saying is, when you say, I want your hand to be with me, is I want a relationship with you, Holy Spirit. I want to walk with you. Huh? That's pretty neat. Because there's not anything in the universe that he doesn't know, and he can tell you. Young people, don't you ever be limited. The only thing that limited you, you're only limited by God. And with him, there's no limits. That's why he said, you can do all things through Christ. And some of you old fogies, you need to quit hitting the top, the glass lid that's not there anymore. If you weren't here last week, you need to get that message. But have a relationship. I am having a ball. Oh, is everything going perfect? Is everything going? No, I didn't say that. I just said, I'm having a ball. Me and Jesus are walking. Huh? And I've got him. I've got the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that's with me. And I'm just learning. Even down to if I have lost something and don't know where it is, I can say, Holy Spirit, you know exactly where that is. Will you show me? Huh? And I've learned to say, you know, he says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but I've learned I can't do anything without him. Hey, listen, love you. Everybody stand up. I hope I gave you something that'll help you, and I hope that you'll meditate on some of this stuff I said. You with me? Sleepy? Tired? He says, I'll send another Allos, one just like me, to be with you. He'll walk alongside of you. He'll coach you. He'll tell you. He'll show you everything that you need to know. And you can accomplish everything God sent you to do. If there's somebody in here that you don't know Jesus, you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, right now, right where you are, just say, Jesus, I want you. I lay my sins at the foot of that cross that you went to for me. And I ask you to be my Lord right now. I want to live for you, and so I give you my life. And I'm asking you to save me. I need your help, but I know you'll help me. And he'll let this comforter come to you that we just talked about. And he'll lead you and guide you and help you. So if that was you and you prayed that prayer, or you want to pray that prayer, as soon as I dismiss here, come down and let one of us pray with you. We got some folks here we want to pray, and I want to give you some information. If you get saved today, I want to give you some information that'll help you get into the Bible and get on your way with the Lord. Hey, I'm believing God to touch your life. I'm believing Him to be more real to you than He's ever been. And I'm believing that today, starting right now, that your relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit will become so intimate. I'm believing Him to open up things to you that you never dreamed possible. And I speak His blessings on you. And I thank you for being here today. I want you to know I love you. If you're a first-time attender, as soon as we dismiss here, you go. You ever come down and I'll give you some information and give you a gift. But I'd like to meet you. Hey, so you go in peace, you be blessed, and you have a great day and a great week. And I'll see you next time. I love you.